Well, I live in a house of snugglers. Anybody else there? Any like introverts who need their big personal space live in a house of snugglers? Even our dog, who's almost a year old now, is a snuggler, to the point that I think what has happened is that my girls just like have whispered into his ear or coaxed him or given him treats in some way, shape, or form, so that this picture is kind of the norm while my daughter's doing homework. And he's like, he's not little. That picture, he's a 60-pound dog that then just jumps up behind and needs to have, you can see, right, like his one paw is just like almost resting right on Eden's shoulder, and she loves it. And then I'll sit in that spot, I'll make the mistake of sitting in that spot, and the dog will hop up and he'll do the same thing to me, and it creeps me out, okay? I'm just like, all right, we are too close. If I feel your breath on my neck, we have misplaced this bubble understanding that we have. But you know, the Bishop home is full of snugglers, to the point that, you know, sometimes when one of my kids is having a rough day, or they are feeling overwhelmed, or they don't know how to put into words the way that they are feeling, and they say, I just need to be able to feel you. Have you ever heard that before? Right? And oftentimes it's after, for me, it feels like that's like after a long day or something like that. And I'm like, okay. But then there is something that, like, if I am just next to my daughter, I can almost feel her worries and anxiety kind of melt away. It is incredible. And so as we've been going through this December, we've been talking about, and finding our Christmas spirit has been our conversation, has been the kind of way that we have approached this season, because sometimes in the midst of the December and all the things that need to happen, we are more like the Ebenezer Scrooge that is not a great guy, right? Because of all the stuff. Versus someone who is preparing for the birth of the one, the King of Kings, the one who is going to come and redeem the entire world. And so we've been talking about the way that this Christmas spirit then has given us gifts each week. And so we started off the first week by talking about this gift of creativity, that we have been made in the image of God. And so part of that means that we have been created to create, that we are encouraged to create with something. It might be a physical medium of art. It might be through the way that we do our job or the way that we use our voices. Whatever that might be, we are called to create. And yet sometimes the sin or the shame of sin then has us kind of shy away from being those creators and allows us to fall into that routine of being consumers. And then the second week, we talked about that gift of faith and the way that we have this kind of trust in that God has acted. God did a thing, and then God did a new thing and a new thing and a new thing. And so that faith of saying, can God still do new things today? And having that faith of going, I think so. And so then let's take that adventure together. And then the third week, we talked about the gift of hospitality. And so, Sam, was that you that said hospitality, right? That gift of opening ourselves up, that God has done the hard work of preparing the table, and so it is our job to invite others to make sure that they know that there is a place here for them, no matter their past circumstances or their current struggles or their anxieties about the future, that there is a place at the table for them. And then yesterday we talked about surprise and the way that the angels came to Mary, and they said, you're going to be the one who bears God. And Mary going, oh, cool. Well, this will be an easy ride, right? And as we know the story, it was not an easy ride for Mary. In fact, filled with tears. And so that gift, though, of God is doing something new, but we have to be willing to kind of tend to the margins and tend to those people that God has on God's heart to then work with that. And so today, we are talking about the gift of presence, no T. Okay? See what we did there? That's like a grammar joke, and it's awesome. And so that's why we're doing it today, is because those things that are wrapped under the tree and that are coming with us, you know, are something, and they are gift, but maybe the greater gift is that time where we say, I just need to be able to feel you. And so that's what we celebrate today. We just take a minute to kind of realize that significance, that a little over 2,000 years ago, that there was this God who saw this hurting, broken people, that there was this creation that was lovingly made and it was called good. And then there was hurt and struggle and strife, and we just couldn't get it right. And so instead of waving a magic wand, instead of doing something else, which I assume that if you are God, you could find another way to do the thing that God was trying to do, right? But God said, honoring where we've been, honoring my word and who I am, I'm going to come down and move into the neighborhood in a way that allows you to be present with me and me with you. It's almost like God's people are saying, I just need to feel you. And God said, I got you. But it's going to change everything. And so God chose to come down into this mess, into this brokenness. We think about, 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem when we sing the songs and it's amazing. And some of us think, how easy would it have been to make a bed? How hard would it have been for that innkeeper to know who these people were and then find a space for them? And if we're quick to say that, I think what we need to realize is that God comes afresh, anew, every year, every day to us. And essentially, we have opportunities where it feels like our schedules, there's no room in the inn for our kids that come and say, I just need to be with you. And we go, sorry, your sister's right over there. Can you guys just make that happen? Because I'm really busy. But instead, seeing that presence, seeing that gift, seeing the gift that God has given us of the presence of being here, God doesn't owe us this. That's what grace is, right? That God comes into this space and this unmerited favor happens where there is a God who comes in and is willing to get dirty and see and encounter and experience all the things that we have encountered. That's what we celebrate when we celebrate the gift of Jesus, this baby laying in a manger, not a palace, right? But in the lowliest of low. So that all of the things that you bring with you, all the baggage that you have, all of the struggles, God's been there, like really living, been there. And that's a powerful thing. There's something powerful for the way that this gift of presence then isn't just for God, but also it invites us into that as well. And, it's this kind of call for community of the way that God calls us to be with one another in a way that we realize it's not good for us to kind of isolate ourselves and do it alone. And so a few weeks ago, I was talking with the track team at the high school over here, and about each week or so, I'll kind of gather the guys together and we'll have what we call a character talk. And then afterwards, we go out and one of my runners said, Coach, you're gonna run the workout with us? Because today you look like a standing coach. Hey, thank you. Thank you for the shots fired, right? Now, I was planning on it, and then I heard the workout, and it's one of my least favorites, right? So we were going to do mile repeats, so we're going to, run a mile and take a two-minute break or minute break or whatever, and then just do it all again, repeat that five times. It's going to be great fun. And then, and looking and pacing with them, it's super. It's great. But I said, what do you mean a standing coach? She's like, you're gonna just stand and watch us run. And so I said, when have I ever done that before? He goes, I don't know. But I just thought maybe you would do it today. But there's something in that being with one another, right? That builds community, that builds trust, that builds this bond of a journey together. There's something that me running laps, I'm never more than like a quarter of a mile away from those guys who are running laps. I was close, but I wasn't present. But when we finish the workout, when you're able to then come together and be the people as a community together, something changes, right? And so what happens is that I need to find that gift of presence. Not at 3 o'clock when I start giving my talk, but at like 5 o'clock when I wake up and realize I've got to pack my bag. And so this picture is kind of one of those that I always have about three bags packed. I have church work bag. I have some kind of, right here, this day was, I had to do some filming for our online campus. And then I always have to have a bag ready to go. So if some high school kid says, so you're going to be a standing coach today? I go, not today. I won't be able to walk tomorrow, but not today, right? Because that is like the track kid equivalent of, hey, it'd be great to talk with you on our run. You know, and I don't know how many pastoral care sessions, we don't call them that, but I don't know how many pastoral care sessions I've had running in the trails of the villages with this gaggle of guys that are just an absolute delight and an absolute mess all at the same time, right? Because it is absolutely wonderful and life-giving for me. I don't know about for them, but when we have these conversations, there is this gift of presence. And I think it's because that we then prime the pump by realizing that this second piece of imagery that happens in the scripture that Jill read for us today is that because there is this light that has come down into the darkness, that there is hope and peace and love and joy that is now opened up for each and every one of us, right? And that light didn't just come down and stop. It's not like a strobe, right? But maybe 2,000 years ago, it started, but that light continued to shine and shine and shine. And when I think about that, I think about the sandlot, right? It shines forever, right? Like it's shone, it is shining, and it will continue to shine because that one gift of Jesus then changes the whole game. So we're gonna try something here that worked in my head, and we'll see if it works now with you guys. So if we think about the light, okay? So let's think about, got it. So we think about that light continuing to shine, though. It is perpetually shining on each and every one of us. However, because of that sin, that shame of sin, and those things that we have, or those habits, hurts, and hang-ups that we have, oftentimes what we want to try to do is block that gift of God's presence in our lives. And that might be through people, and so you know, we'll have other people kind of blocking us that help us not make the best choices or encourage us not to make the best choices. And then there's other times where we'll put let's see if this works. We'll put barriers and patterns in our lives up so that then it looks like we have cut ourselves off from that light, but is it still shining? But I'll complain that, man, it doesn't feel like God is close. It doesn't feel like that light feels like it has gone out, but the reality is it continues to shine. It continues to be present in my life. However, I have lost that gift of presence because of the things that I have placed in my life. But it doesn't stop shining. And so one of those things that then we have to do is that we have to realize, or that we have to understand or ask the question of, how can we be present in the coming year? And not just in the Christmas season, but all year long, so that we hold doors for people a little bit longer throughout the whole time. So we've got a couple of rules from a prolific movie that we can kind of use our skills and resources to think about, the Code of the Elves, okay? I think that they offer up some really good insight and understanding about how we can regain this gift of presence for us here and now. And one of those things is treat every day like Christmas, because there is some wonder and majesty and magic in tomorrow, isn't there? Like the pace of the day changes. There's time where we probably set our phones aside a little bit more so that we can be with those who we are with then and now. That every day, if we treat every day like Christmas, it's also like saying every single day there is something special that can happen about this day, and I don't want to miss it. So we want to make sure that you know, if we're going to come approaching every single day, like we're going to come and meet the Christ child, not dressed in robes in our finest, but dressed as someone who is meeting a king who is willing and able to be born in a food trough, being completely who we are, and then being transformed by that gift. The second rule is there's enough room on the nice list for everybody, right? That there's not a limit to how many people can come to the table, that can come to the manger, that can come and be part of who God has said, I'm going to shine my light on. And our goal is to not try to hoard that light, not try to hoard the spots at the nice list, because that would be kind of a naughty list thing to do, right? But then make sure that we are engaging and welcoming others in. And then finally, my maybe least favorite is that sing loud. The best way to spread Christmas cheer is to sing loud for all to hear. Now, my singing wouldn't necessarily spread the Christmas cheer it would make everybody leave and go home. But we have some excellent musicians that do that. But I think that if we kind of replace that with, you know, how are you letting your life song come through your actions, words, and deeds in a way that allow you to share that gift of hope, life, gift with all of those people that you encounter? How can you welcome them into that community that sees this light that shines as a gift of knowing that we have been given the freedom and the courage to be the people that we have been created to be? You know, when we think about this gift of the manger, and we wrap up here, we think about, there's an author, Anne Lamont, and she tells the story about going through this really hard time in her life. And she said, and everywhere she went, she would walk from place to place, oftentimes to this church just to go pray, but not knowing if God was there or not. But she said, everywhere I went, there was this cat, and it would follow me from place to place. And she said, I think that that's kind of the way that God's love works. And eventually, this little cat that kept following her from place to place, she lit into her house. And you know what happens then, right? Cat will never go. And she gave it a little bit of milk. And then it was just part of the family. If we think about this gift of life, we think about this Christ child who we celebrate, if we think about the way in which we can take just a spark or just a little bit of hope and put it at the end of our candle, that then that gift of God's presence that is, you know, this big can start to magnify and can then allow these encounters with God to be transformative in the way that we will never be the same, in the same way that even though I live in a house of snugglers and I might not be there yet, I am okay then with the dog who tries to box me out of the couch, and I will stand firm and I will let him sometimes, put his paw on my shoulder, right? Because I am a work in progress and I have not made perfection yet. And so as we close worship today, what we're gonna do is we're gonna kind of make this a little bit darker in here, but we're gonna take that light from that Christ candle right in the middle, realizing that the light of the world came and moved into the neighborhood, and that because there is enough room on all the good lists, that we don't have to hoard that light. And so as we...